Good evening. We certainly welcome each and every one to our gospel meeting here tonight. And as the custom is, we begin with singing. You know, it tells us in the scripture to come into his presence with singing. And I believe here tonight we are in the presence of the Lord of glory. He is with us here tonight. And we have something to sing about. Those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe singing is an indication of joy, of happiness. And so I'd like to begin tonight with number 5. Perhaps we could stand and sing number 5. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Number 5. Look to the Lord in prayer for his help. Our God and Father, we thank thee tonight that we can sing, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. We thank thee, dear Father, for thy love that has sent the Savior, thy beloved Son. We thank thee for his finished work on the cross of Calvary. And we thank thee that we can open thy word and we can rejoice in the exceeding riches of thy grace. and thy kindness to us. We thank thee that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee we can enjoy the peace of God. And the God of peace goes with us. But just now we pray especially for any in this hall, perhaps a boy or a girl, or perhaps an older one, who sang this hymn, but never yet have had their sins washed away. We do pray that thou wilt make this day a day of conviction, that this day might indeed be a day when they would feel the weight of their sin, and that they might be miserable until they have called upon thee for salvation, and be able to sing in truth, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." Now we ask thy blessing on thy word here and wherever it's proclaimed worldwide. We thank thee for thine long-suffering grace, and I desire that all should be saved. And so we commit the meeting to thee and give thee our thanks for this time together. In thy alone most worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus, amen. Well, we know what it is that washes white as snow. So I think we should sing a song about that. Let's turn over to 32. What can wash away my sins? Number 32. And we can just remain seated. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Set our hymn sheets aside. We came to the conference yesterday, And I noticed over the past few days, two words have been spoken to me, and I've heard them spoken to others many, many times. You probably know what I'm thinking about. Anybody venture a guess? Two words that we hear often at this time of the year. Mr. Mazur.
Merry Christmas.
Exactly. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, somebody that's merry is a happy person. That's supposed to be a happy time of year. Everybody rejoicing? Well, I want to tell you something. There wasn't too many businesses open yesterday. There was a gas station open in the town of Lincoln. And I must say, I never see so many people in that service station before. They were in there lined up buying food, paying for gas, and so on and so forth. So I stood in line. And when I left, I got in the car. My wife said to me, "What is wrong with all those people? They're so gloomy. They all appear glum." And I got thinking, yeah, that's true. I don't even think I saw a happy face. And yet, it's supposed to be a merry day. What is the problem here? So we try to analyze why it is that these people are unhappy, because it really appeared that they were. Well, you know, many people are disappointed. I talked to a brother, well, he's sitting right here tonight, and he said something to the effect that, you know, we get psyched up for this Christmas day, but December 26 rolls around, and it's like we do a crash landing. He said he was so disappointed often the next day. Well, I think many people are disappointed even on Christmas Day. Now, you know, it's a wonderful thing that Christ was born. But I do believe that his birth is not enough. And so as we sang these hymns here tonight, were we singing about his birth? Or were we singing about his death? We were singing about his precious blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary. At the time of his death, the precious Savior there on the cross gave his life and he shed his blood to save your soul and mine. Marvelous to contemplate the Son of God giving his all, giving himself, shedding his blood on your behalf and mine. You know, we have great leaders in this world. We have presidents. We have prime ministers. We have czars. We have kings. But what I notice is that these ones who are so important, they send someone else into battle to shed their blood. And they don't shed their own. It's something to think about. But the Lord Jesus, the greatest of all, the Creator, he shed his blood in order to redeem us, in order to cleanse us. There's no other remedy for sin apart from the precious blood of Christ. So I'm glad we started with those hymns. Now, I was thinking particularly tonight of a story. And it's not my wallet, It's in the Bible. But it's a story we often refer to and use in the gospel. But I find that it never, ever wears out. I enjoy it just as much today as when I first heard it, maybe when I was about 2 years old. Now, some years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and we had the opportunity to visit the U.S. Treasury Department, and they were printing bills. Some were $1, some were $5, $10, $20, and it was quite a sight to see a big skid of paper piled up there and find out that, whoa, that's a big sheet of $20 bills. But what I noticed was this going on. There was a machine over on the shelf, and it was doing this. I said, what's that all about? Oh, well, that machine there is testing the durability of the bill. And, you know, it was going like this. And I don't know how many times, hundreds, perhaps thousands. And then the bill ripped. It wore out. It was done. You say, why am I talking about U.S. Treasury and dollar bills? It's because dollar bills wear out. $20 bills wear out. But what we have in the Bible, it never wears out. And this book that you're looking at here in my hand, and you have one in your lap, it's open here on earth, and it's going to be open in heaven forever and ever and ever. This is the most important book in the universe, the Bible. And the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth passes away, but my word shall not pass away. But now I'll tell you the story I want to turn to tonight. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And as I say, it's a familiar story, but how wonderful to see in this story the grace of God in meeting the need of a poor, lost, helpless, hopeless sinner. It's a wonderful story. We're going to start at verse 25. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now let's just stop there. Behold, that means listen up, pay attention. A certain lawyer stood up. A lawyer is one who is familiar with the laws. And in these days, a lawyer would be familiar with the law of Moses, should be familiar with the Old Testament, taught the law, and here is one that stands up before Jesus and has a question. But notice, he says, Master, or teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Here's a man tempting the Lord with a question. The man was not sincere. You know, these lawyers and these Pharisees, I believe they recognized that the Lord Jesus was bringing a message that was different than what they were accustomed to hearing in the law. Do and live. The Lord Jesus was here inviting boys and girls and men and women to come to Him for salvation, to believe on Him. He could say, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life. And to accept this message would be to set aside the law. And the Pharisees did not appreciate this kind of teaching. I believe they were proud of their religion, that they had what no other nation on earth had, which is the Ten Commandments. And they would stand up and they would find fault with Christ and seek to trip him up, to trick him into saying something that would make him look like a fool. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, he had a way about him. He's all wise. And he could turn the conversation around to where the ones that were trying to depreciate him, they were the ones that became or looked like a fool. It's marvelous to contemplate how the Lord, he dealt with questions. And somebody said, you know, the Lord Jesus, he didn't answer questions, but he answered souls. And he could see through this individual, that this man is not sincere, that this man does not have a penitent attitude, that this man perhaps is trying to get him to repudiate the law. Now, you know, the Lord Jesus, he did not repudiate the law. In fact, he was here on earth and he fulfilled the law to the very letter. And in doing so, I believe he did expose those that were self-righteous and claimed to keep the law, and yet they were sinners as much as anyone else. Now, you notice the question this man asks. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? No word about salvation. You turn over to Acts chapter 16, you have a man that is in earnest. He knows his sin. He wants help outside of himself. And he appeals to Paul and Silas. You know the story. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now that's a good question. Salvation is what we all need. No exceptions. But I don't think this lawyer felt his need before God of salvation. I don't believe he gave honor, respect to God, and he thought more of himself. And that's the problem. You know, the enemy of our souls tries to give us a false understanding of God. And also a false value of what we are. Well, the Lord Jesus here, he said to this man, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" He will take this man up on his own terms. This man is not repentant. This man has no appreciation for the salvation that Christ can offer. And so the Lord Jesus, I believe, is going to, in a very remarkable way, give this man to feel that he is a sinner. You know, there's a verse back in Proverbs. Let me just read this here. In Proverbs chapter 26. And verse 5. Proverbs 26:5. "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." I believe that's exactly what the Lord Jesus was doing in this situation. Answering the man according to his folly, that he might not be taken up with his own conceit. The man answers the Lord in verse 27. He answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." This lawyer, he knew what was written in the Old Testament. Because this comes out of, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 6, and combined with perhaps Leviticus 19. And he could quote this. And the Lord says to this man, "Thou hast answered right." In other words, this man, he gave a good answer. He gave a right answer. But the question is, did the man live up to the answer that he gave? The Lord Jesus says to this man, "This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, do you think that's a good question? Who is my neighbor? I don't think that is a good question. I believe we all ought to have the answer to that question in our heart and mind. Our neighbor being anybody who crosses our path to whom we can be of assistance, who we could be a help to. But this man he was trying to diminish the demand of the law. I do think that this man, in his heart of hearts, realized that he did not live up to what he had just said. Now, the Lord Jesus, over in, I think it's Matthew chapter 22, he said the same as this lawyer. I think it's Matthew chapter 22. And so we see that the answer was right. The answer was good. Verse 36 of chapter 22, Matthew. Well, let's read verse 35. Well, 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that was the answer the Lord Jesus gave. Same answer as this lawyer gave. But the Lord had a story to tell. And when this man, he sought to justify himself, the Lord tells a story. Man, he seeks to justify himself rather than justifying God, rather than bowing to the Word of God and to God's viewpoint, to the truth, he stands up before God as though he can stand before God on his own merit. He justifies himself. What this man ought to have done would be to acknowledge before the Lord Jesus, I have not lived up to these commandments. I have not lived up to the law. And I'm a sinner. And I'm looking to you in repentance for salvation. The Lord Jesus would have met his need right there and then. But his attitude was not good. I wonder here tonight, would there be anybody in our little company whose attitude is like this lawyer, seeking to justify himself without taking God at his word and accepting God's judgment on ourselves, that we're all bad. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. The law was given of God. Very important part of Israel's history when God gave to Moses the commandments. And God communicated with man that which would be good for him to do, if he could do it. You might say a way of life that would be very healthy would be that which would be a quality life to be able to live in this way. I used to work with a man running a printing press, and you know, this man, he told me he really appreciated the laws in the Old Testament. And he said, I read the book of Deuteronomy with my family. And that's good advice. And it is good advice. But the problem is, this man had no interest in Jesus. He did not feel his need as a sinner before God and look out of sight of himself to Christ. But the law, you know, it tells us it's holy, it's just, and it's good. And as it tells us here, the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Loving God. Oh, how good that is. But how many have loved the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, and with all their mind? Now, the second commandment, as it is related here, because we know some of the commandments were Godward and some were manward. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How many have actually loved their neighbor as themselves? I heard one time about a man, and it was many, many years ago in over in England. There was a fire that broke out in the community, and it was a raging fire. And there was a man that he was concerned about saving a friend of his that was down the road. And somebody said, well, you know, the fire is overtaking your home. It's overtaking your home. And your furniture, so on, is being burned. He said, I want to save my friend. And so he went, and apparently he risked his own life to go into a burning building to save his friend while his own house was burning. Well, you might say that is truly love for one's neighbor. But you know, those cases are very few and far between. And the fact is that nobody, I don't think, really loves their neighbor as themselves, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this lawyer, he's questioning, who is his neighbor? You can see there was not love in his heart, because if there had been, I don't think he would have asked this question. But the Lord Jesus then goes on to describe his own mission and how that he was an example of one who loved his neighbor as himself. Now tonight, we're not here to preach the law, because by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified. And the fact is, according to James, that whoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, what did the Lord Jesus say to this lawyer? He said, do and live. The fact is, the lawyer was dead. He was dead already in his sin. And that's how God views the sinner did. I believe that the law, Ten Commandments, and only one who kept the law in its entirety. The Lord Jesus could say, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He was the holy one. He was the just one. And when all others had come short, he was here and enjoyed God the Father's commendation. You know, at his baptism, it tells us the heavens were opened, and there's a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There wasn't one thought, word, or action on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ that offended the Father. He could say, "I do always those things that please the Father." But nobody else could say that. And yet many today, they have a false evaluation of who they are. And the Pharisees were like that. You know, they were self-righteous. They looked down on others as though others were sinners and not themselves. Now, if you want to live by keeping the law, God gives the way to do it. Keep the whole law, all Ten Commandments, and you will live. But if you break one, you come short. Now, I here tonight brought a couple of rulers. And these are 10-inch rulers. And I thought these rulers perhaps could be used to represent the Ten Commandments. There's 10 inches on the ruler. And so we have this ruler. If one is to earn their way to heaven, they have to meet all 10 of the commandments. Now, I got another ruler here. You know, there was a man. We read about him in Luke chapter 18. It tells us he went into the temple to pray. He was a Pharisee. And you know, he prayed with himself. He's praying to God and telling God how great he is. He says, "I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. And I'm not like that publican over there." He's pointing to the publican, but even as he did, he had three fingers pointing back at himself. He says, "I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess." And he had a really good opinion of himself. And there was another man, and that was the publican. And it tells us that he stood afar off, and he smote upon his breast, and he simply said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." You know that man that justified himself, that Pharisee, never received the blessing. But the one who was willing to acknowledge his sin, we find that he went down to his house justified. God justified him. And so that's how we need to be before God. We need to acknowledge our sin, look outside of ourselves for mercy. But we have all broken the law. And so I'm going to just take that ruler and that ruler's broke. This ruler is done. Is this ruler good anymore? Is this ruler of any value? Will this ruler measure up to this ruler here? No, it's broke. It's bad. And the fact is that each and every one of us have come short of God's standard. God's standard is this. And here we are, having come short of the glory of God. And so we got a big problem. We are in need. And so the Lord Jesus tells this story in verse 30. It says, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And so this is a story. But you know, this story is a description of the very mission upon which the Son of God was sent. Can you imagine if the Lord Jesus had put forth the question, who is my neighbor? When he was in the glory. Who is my neighbor? Perhaps he look at the angels. And there they were. But he saw in you and me those for whom he wanted to give his life and shed his blood. And that's the story we have here. You see, it tells us that there was a certain man, doesn't tell us his name, but he's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem being a place of blessing. That's where the temple, the house of God was. But this man has turned his back on God and going down to Jericho, where we find the curse. Jericho was a mighty city that confronted God's people when they entered into the land of Canaan. That huge walled city, it was a wicked city. But we know the walls of Jericho came down in a miraculous way. And God said, cursed is he that rebuilds the city. There was a man who, in rebellion to God's word, rebuilt the city. And it cost him his 2 sons. And that was prophesied as well. But it's the city of the curse. Now, I believe it's a city that represents the world in which we live. And you know, this world has no love for your soul. This world will take everything it can from you to advance its own agenda and leave you behind. You got something to offer? I'll take it. The world says this. But the world is taking from you and really giving nothing in return. Now this man, it tells us, he fell among thieves. Well, what would you expect? If you turn your back on God, you're going in the opposite direction, you think everything's going to be okay? No, you're going to have big problems. But this has been the history of mankind right from the start of Genesis. We read about how that Adam and Eve, when God came in the cool of the day, looking for their companionship, what were they doing? They were going away. They were running. They were hiding. They're back to God. And it's been the history of mankind ever since. Cain, he went out from the presence of the Lord to build a city. Surround himself with all types of industry, entertainment, and so on, in order to shut out God. And I believe today, man is shutting God out of this world. He wants to run this world the way he pleases and leave God out. But we know God will have the last word. But here comes somebody, says, he fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. The man is helpless. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I suppose the priest, he had a position in the temple. He was one that promoted the law. But was there love in his soul for this poor man that was languishing on the side of the road? No, it tells us here. He saw him, but he passed by on the other side. He was no more neighbor to that man as was the lawyer. And then there comes a Levite. And I believe a Levite, perhaps he had a position, perhaps a little below a priest, but nevertheless, again, motivated by law-keeping, and he too, what does it say? When he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now, you know, the law says, love God, love your neighbor. But there's no power in the law to do it. No power there. Actually, the law is that which exposes our sin. The law is that which convicts of sin. We compare ourselves to the law, just like we might compare this broken ruler to this one here. And we find out how bad this one is. This is no good. This is the standard. So there was no help from the priest or the Levite. However, in verse 33 it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know, compassion is to have an intense pity for somebody who's in trouble, in need, with a desire to help them. And this man, he had compassion. You know, it says that the Lord Jesus, many times, that he had compassion on a multitude. There was love in his soul. Because he was full of grace and truth. And I do believe we see pictured in this Samaritan, the Lord Jesus, who came. He saw you and me as his neighbors. And he came to where we were. Right down into this little speck in a universe of God called Earth, in order to meet you and me in our need. And he came with all that was needed. You notice this Samaritan, he had with him oil, and he had wine, and he had that which could bind up his wounds. Oil and wine. The Lord Jesus, he has met our need. You know, these wounds of sin are so deep and so ugly. But the Lord Jesus is the one who is the remedy. And I believe on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus gave his life. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ also suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. And as we sang at the outset of the meeting, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus was the one, the only one, who could meet our need perfectly. Just as this Samaritan tells us, he poured in the oil and the wine. I suppose the oil would be soothing, and the wine, perhaps having an alcohol content, might be somewhat of an antiseptic. But you know, you read back in the Psalms about how that wine, it makes glad both the heart of man and the heart of God. And the oil makes his face to shine. And I think, as we said earlier, as Christians, we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be happy as we contemplate the salvation that we have in Christ. We ought to be rejoicing. And so the present need of the man was fully met. And now the Samaritan is off his beast. The man who was half dead is on the beast, being taken to the inn. It says he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I believe this Samaritan had on his mind, while he was absent from this man's situation. And you know, the Lord Jesus, at the present time, he's absent in body. We know he's coming again, but you and I are on his mind. And the fact is, he provides for our every need, both present and future. And so it's a beautiful story. And so the Lord Jesus says to the lawyer, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? He said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, you know, mercy is what we need. And the lawyer acknowledged that mercy is what was shown to that man. You know, the law is that which man takes, although it's holy, just, and good. And it's designed to convict souls of sin. What does man do? He takes it to exalt himself and sets God's mercy aside, like the Pharisee in Luke 18. But the publican, he said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. You know, God is rich in mercy. And he wants to show it to you here tonight. And so we're going to pray. And if you're still in your sins, you're like this. You don't measure up to this. You come short of the glory of God. And there's only one that can fix your problem, and that's the Lord Jesus. And so as we pray here tonight, you can ask the Lord Jesus to save your soul. Call upon him. It's so simple. As we pray, simply say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I would like you to wash my sins away, because I want to go to heaven to be with you. I don't want to be left behind here for judgment, to go to hell, because that will be the result. If when Jesus comes, you're left here in this world, you're going to find yourself in a lost eternity. And so tonight is your opportunity to be saved. Okay? Tonight. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee tonight for the message of the gospel. We thank thee for this Samaritan who, as he journeyed, came to where this poor helpless man lay, poured in the oil and the wine, and then placed him on his own beast and brought him to the inn. And we see thy love and grace pictured in all of this, Lord Jesus, that thou wouldst come to where we were. We thank thee that it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We ask that if anybody here tonight is standing on their own merit as a means of salvation, seeking to justify themselves, may they be broken down before thee to acknowledge their sin, and that there would be repentance, a change of attitude, heart toward thee, our God, and that each might put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the one who loved us, who on the cross gave his life, shed his blood, who died that we might live, and who is now risen and coming again. So we ask thy blessing on thy word here and wherever it's being proclaimed. We ask and give thanks in the most worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.